This podcast is designed to help you understand the laws of our land. I am your host, Hattie Savari, and here to help you every step of the way, whether you are a tenant, landlord, parent, child, employee, employer, neighbour or business owner, and we are all most certainly consumers. The law is in your life every single day with over 180 episodes and 5 million downloads. Get ready to listen and empower yourself with tons of jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Hello and welcome to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. Our legal conversation today will be with Her Majesty's Courts and Tribunals Service, and we will be discussing how mediation can help resolve disputes. I am joined by Jason Haynes, who is a small claims mediator for HMCTS. Jason has worked for the civil service for 30 years in various management positions, and he trained as a mediator in 2007 in response to HMCTS's introduction on a pilot scheme for civil mediation. Since then, he has helped develop the small claims mediation service into what it is now, a centrally run national service integrated within the civil justice system and supported by the civil procedure rules. More recently, Jason has worked on the HMCTS reform program, developing digital options for customers using our online civil money claim service, which you can hear more about by listening to our recent podcast with Kerry Greenwich, also of HMCTS. Jason, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're very welcome. Thanks for inviting us on to talk about our wonderful service that we offer.
Yes, and I was just saying to you, wasn't I? I'm really happy to be doing this podcast because I am a great champion about mediation, because I just know the great benefits of it. I've seen great benefits to it, both with clients that we've referred to mediation or taken part in with mediation, and the statistics talk for themselves, which we'll talk about a little bit more. But let's tell our listeners, what is the small claims mediation service? What does this very posh term mean?
Yeah, right. It is a posh term. No, it's a good service. It is offered really to anybody with an existing small claims case that's going through court. So it must have been started, it must have been defended, and then the parties get an option for mediation where they are given the opportunity for a time-limited telephone mediation appointment with a trained HMCTS mediator.
Right. So just to break that down even further, it's for people who have actually issued a claim. And once they've issued that claim, before a hearing takes place, shall we say, they're offered the opportunity to mediate. Is that compulsory now or not? Do they have to have had the mediation? What's the position on that?
No. The mediation, particularly small claims mediation, has always been voluntary, and that's a really important part of the whole process, really. We want people to be there because they want to be there. We don't want them to feel compelled to do it, or they'll get in trouble or be slapped with some cost order or something. It isn't about that. It is very much trying to put the brakes on the whole thing, give the chance to discuss with somebody else who's not part of that problem, impartially, what could be done about it. So no, to answer your question, it is not compulsory at all.
Right. And this is helpful and useful because it's a mediation, meaning a chance to try and settle with the other side where you're negotiating through a mediator. So a mediator like yourself will call, for example, the claimant and say, right, let me understand the points of your claim and let me understand what it will take for you to try and settle. And then you will literally put the phone down and call the other side, the defendant on the other side, and say, right, let me understand your side of the story. Tell me what you would like to try and achieve in a settlement. And you are trying to assist the parties to find a middle ground to try and settle the dispute. So there's no need to go further into the court process. Essentially, you're settling and the claim goes away and everybody can walk away. That's what we're trying to achieve here.
Yeah, definitely. This is coming early on in the process. Anybody who's done anything through court will know it's not quick. There's nothing quick about it. this is an opportunity to do something quite early on in the process that really could bring about resolution for the parties without incurring all that additional time, effort and cost that these things inevitably take to see through to conclusion. And I should say, I think importantly, which I say nearly every day to everybody who I mediate with, no guarantee as to what that conclusion might be when it gets to court either. You know, we're always dealing with parties with strong views, both claimants and defendants. Stands to reason somebody's going to come away disappointed at the end of that whole process. So we're looking to avoid that disappointment, not trying to pretend it's a happy process or that anybody even wants to be there, but is it a better option?
No, absolutely. I think you make a very good point there, because in mediation, at least you have the opportunity to agree to the last terms that are being offered, whether you're the claimant or the defendant, whereas in court, a judge will decide for you. That gets taken away from you. In mediation, you still have the opportunity to say, okay, fine, I will accept that. Or actually, I will just meet that person halfway because, you know, this is the right thing to do, rather than a judge coming up over and above that and saying, this is what's going to happen here. Neither claimant or defendant gets a say, because you've come to me to say you cannot resolve this dispute and I'm resolving it for you. I think that's really, really key. And I think it's important just to point out that particularly during the pandemic, that as a country and as the world we're suffering and going through at the moment, you know, courts have a lot of work and are trying to do a lot of work in the formats of having minimal staff or staff working from different locations, and therefore there are backlogs, and where court timetables were stretched in any event, they're even more so stretched. So having a mediation opportunity where you really go into it with an open mind to try and settle whether you're the defendant or the claimant actually can take you out of that process. And like you said, waiting a long time to get to court in order to have, you know, a court hearing.
I think it'd be fair to point out to anybody listening, really, maybe they've not done anything through court in the past. Maybe their experience they do it regularly, but the target time for a small claims case start to finish is 30 weeks for HMCTS. At the moment, with the impacts of the pandemic, it's going to be much longer than that. If I tell you that you can get to mediation within 2 to 3 weeks from issue, that kind of puts it, I think, in perspective as to one of the real benefits to considering it. You put with it the fact that it is a free service as well. Free for both the claimant and the defendant. It's quick, it's cheap. What's not to like?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and again, you're looking at 30 weeks. You've just said 30 weeks during normal times without a pandemic to get your small claim into court. 2 to 3 weeks from the date that you issue to try and get a mediation set up. I mean, even if that was 4 or 6 weeks, that's still incredibly reasonable. And then it's absolutely, it doesn't cost you anything to have the mediation as part of your claim. And if you stop it all there without the requirement to go to court, you may have legal representation, and that'll cost money. And obviously in a small claims, and I think this is really key here, if your claim is under the value of £10,000, you cannot claim your costs from the other side, whether you are the claimant or a defendant who has successfully defended a claim. So having this process resolved at mediation outweighs by far commercially and potentially the great costs that you will have to bear, even if you win your claim at the end of a small claims mediation process.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the benefits, there are many really, I think, to considering mediation. We've touched on cost, of course, there, and timeliness. You know, I think those two are really important, particularly if cash flow even in your business is an issue. You know, can you afford to wait 30 weeks for an outcome?
30 weeks plus, Jason, you know?
Yeah, not even knowing what that outcome is going to be. I would say that's a long, long time. So, you know, those benefits. I think something that gets slightly overlooked with mediation as well, civil mediation, is the outcomes that you can look to agree on as well. Because remember, if you go through, a small claims court with a monetary claim, you're going to get a monetary decision at the end of the court process. Whereas at mediation, we can, to an extent, agree on anything that is workable for the parties and makes sense. You know, we can be very creative and have been over the years with all sorts of different settlements that I've done and my colleagues have done, which are nothing to do with money. You know, you start out with a monetary claim, but the outcome at mediation may be, it could be all sorts. We've done remedial work in building disputes and things like that with no money exchanging hands. Repairs, apologies, charitable donations, exchanges of vehicles. The list does literally go on. And I think that is one of the real strengths of mediation, that these disputes aren't always about the money. They're often about other things, neighbour disputes, things like that. That there are, if you can be a bit more creative about it, really bring about a much more satisfactory outcome than some monetary decision at the end of the court's decision.
I think that's a really, really interesting and a great point as well, Jason, because honestly, like you say, in court, if a judge is making a decision upon a small claim, it's going to be of a monetary value. It's going to be a sum of money that will or will not be awarded. But using the mediation service, as you outlined, what a great thing to be able to say, okay, I don't want your £200 or your £3,000. I want you to come and put this work right, as like you mentioned, perhaps a builder who's not finished a job or a job's gone wrong at some point, or being able to take other actions that actually the money that you're going to get may mean that you still have to go and resolve the problem. It could mean that. Whereas at mediation, you have that absolute flexibility through a mediator to try and get a resolution which will mean more to the problem than just receiving the money for the problem.
Yeah, totally agree. That is the strength, yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. And we did say at the beginning of this podcast that the statistics will speak for themselves. And there is a huge success rate of mediation, Jason. Can we talk about that? What are the statistics like on mediation, people that mediate?
Yeah, they are strong. I mean, we have a flexible team of mediators. And when I say that, some work part-time, partial retirement. We've got some full-time mediators as well. But there's limited in numbers. We do approximately 17,000 mediations a year, or we did last year, certainly. Of those, 60% settled. The remaining 40 will have moved on in their journey through court. One thing, again, sometimes I think gets overlooked with mediation, 60% have settled on the day within an hour, because that is the limit to the mediation appointment. And if you think about a lot of disputes, I still, after sort of 13 years of being a mediator, I'm still quite surprised at that. If you think how long these problems people have lived with them for, weeks and months probably, if not longer, to get together in a one-hour telephone call and resolve it is pretty impressive, I still think. And that's testament to the process. The process and the trained mediators have brought about that, really. So 60% is high. But the other thing I think gets sometimes overlooked, although 40% will continue with their journey, we know, although we've not got the figures, that a proportion of those will still settle themselves
Let me tell you, I have read statistics across the board that around 19% that don't settle at mediation then go on to settle afterwards. Because interestingly, and I've experienced this with clients myself, mediation opens up conversation. It starts opening doors and possibilities of what a settlement could or may look like. And even if somebody's attempted a mediation, being quite hot-headed or it's an emotional time, because like you said earlier on, nobody really wants to be part of the claim, whether you're the claimant or the defendant. It's not a pleasant process, but one that obviously as a claimant you've decided to make. So what I have seen is that following a unsuccessful mediation, because people's minds have been expanded a little bit, and then if they are legally represented, they go and have those legal conversations and say, do you know what he said or she said, and this is what, you know, they're going to possibly be saying in court or not be saying, or, you know, they calm down from being perhaps a little bit angered and uppity, walk away and actually settle again before the hearing. So that mediation process has enabled that. And it's about 19%, according to statistics, which again, I mean, 60% of anything, Jason, is a bloody good number, if I may say so myself.
Yeah, I think so too. Like I say, people have lived with these problems and these disputes, probably thought long and hard about even taking this court action in the first place, probably worried and nervous about the whole thing. The feedback we get on the service we offer has always been consistently strong. I think the really encouraging part of feedback that we've had over the years is that a lot of people would have said they would reuse the service again. But importantly, even those ones that didn't settle at mediation wanted to use the service again. I think that's testament again to what we're offering. Yeah.
Well, interesting. And I think that, you know, one of the things about mediation, that they are confidential and they are without prejudice. And just to explain to our listeners what that actually means in real terms.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, confidentiality is one of the cornerstones of mediation. And I think for your listeners, they may not know, we do the mediation over the telephone. It's time limited to 1 hour, but it's not a conference call. You're not on the phone with all the parties. You speak separately and only to the mediator, and that gives us the opportunity to discuss confidentially whatever we need to discuss in an attempt to move it forward, really. And then we can use the best of that, and the mediator can, when they speak to the other side. So you can say things that you don't want to share at all if you just want to get it off your chest, if there are some burning issues you want to. And believe me, people do. And there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm bursting to say, so you're not the counsellor, are you? You're not being sort of a counselling session.
Listen, tears, upset, swearing is not uncommon in any mediation. But
right, there you go. There you have it. Let it all out.
Let it out. It's a real problem, isn't it, yeah, for them? It's important to them. We appreciate that. It really is a big deal for them. So, yeah, that's a part of it. And I think that's a healthy part of it as well, because without the other side listening in, they can get off their chest what they need to get off the chest. Then we can help them focus a bit more on, right, how do we move forward? What does the future look like here? Do we want it to be going to court? Are you confident of getting the outcome you want from court? Or is there more benefit to looking at what perhaps could be done at this stage?
And I think it's important to point out that without prejudice means that whatever is discussed between you and the mediator, and whatever the mediator then goes and discusses with the other side, again, doesn't matter whether you're the claimant or the defendant, nobody, so the claimant or the defendant, can take that information and go and use it in court. So the whole purpose of it being without prejudice is so that everybody can speak freely. And if it doesn't settle, then no one can take what has been said in any form and context and say, oh, but in mediation, this is what that person said. You cannot do that. It's without prejudice. It cannot go into a court environment. So let's just quickly talk about, if you agree to settle, what happens? Formal agreement is drawn up. Is that right? That's what goes on, Jason. Let's talk about that just a little bit.
Let's have a quick run through the actual mediation appointment, finishing with that. So introduction to start with, who the mediator is, what the expectations are, a bit of housekeeping there. Have the parties who are there got authority to settle the matter? That's relevant if we're dealing with businesses. We do a brief overview, which we would call the past. I'm not going to dip too deeply into this. It's not about raking over the coals. We'll never get it sorted if we keep going down that path. So we're going to go over the past and just find out what led to the claim being issued, moving on into developing options, which we'd call the present. And that really is about, right, we know what's happened. We know what's led to this point. What does everybody want? What are we looking for? What does the future look like, as we said earlier? And then moving into building those agreements, that might be, who knows what, payment plans, a bit more of a structure of site meetings, remedial work, conclusion, that kind of thing. Could be anything and everything, but maybe a time scale and a structure to go with the agreement. And then the closing part really is about what you just asked me at the beginning there, was a settlement agreement. We have standard settlement agreement that's been agreed with all the courts in England and Wales. We use it for all cases. And the basis of that is giving a structure that it is a legally binding document so that the court and the parties will expect it to be fulfilled in whatever terms we've agreed. If they don't fulfil it, if it breaks down, either party has the opportunity to return to court in breach of the agreement. They can make an application to the court and the court will direct what's to happen, whether that's judgment or to continue with the claim. But hopefully that isn't required. And all that happens is that settlement agreement is drafted by the mediator, sent to the parties by email, which should reflect anything agreed and the timeframes that go with it. In the agreement itself, it refers to the fact that it's confidential, which again is important. So what's discussed and agreed stays between the parties, and it's in full and final settlement of the whole matter.
And it's legally binding?
Yeah, very much so. And it's a big part of the agreement that the parties know it's got some weight behind it, it's got some teeth. If it doesn't work out for whatever reason, and some of these agreements can have a few steps to them, so that there are potentials to fail at some point, I suppose. But it's important that the parties understand either party, because it's an agreement, either party can apply back to the court if they believe there's been a breach of the agreement. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I think that's really helpful and useful, because what somebody doesn't want to do is sit there and participate in this mediation, come to an agreement where you've given some, you've taken some. I don't think anybody wins in legal matters sometimes, Jason. It's a tough place. As you said, it can be very stressful, very timely, very costly. And then come away thinking, yes, okay, that's gone away now. I've made an agreement. I've come to an agreement. And then it's not legally binding. That wouldn't be great. So the fact that it is, I think, is great. So, okay, let's talk about who can use this service. What does it cost? How do they access it? Let's talk about that, Jason.
Okay, so you must be within the system. You must have started off your claim and it must have been defended, okay? At the point where the claim is defended, directions questionnaires are issued. So whether you come through an online entry point or whether you're doing this on paper, it doesn't really matter. Direction questionnaires come after the defence is filed. And it's at that point where the parties are given the opportunity to enter into mediation if they choose. Okay?
Let me just ask you one question there. Sorry to pause you. If the claimant says, I would like to mediate, and the defendant says, sorry, I don't want to mediate, does the mediation happen?
Nope, that's it.
Both parties have to agree to try a mediation.
Yeah, there's no compulsion to it. We encourage it. If you go through the online process, there's lots of encouraging talk about settlement rates and why you should think about it. Yeah, but you both have to opt for it. And if one party opts out, you opt out together.
Right. Got it. Next.
It's a free service. It always has been since it was introduced. I think that is got to be encouraging for anybody, really. Not free, so there's nothing to lose, we'll just have a go. Free to really encourage you to give it a go. And I think there's a difference there. We want people to be there because they want to be there to settle it. We want them to enter into the spirit of what mediation is all about. So I think that's a strong driver. It comes, as I said, with the direction questionnaires at that point, once the defence has filed. And as soon as they're keen to really start, we can get an appointment in next couple of weeks or so, yeah.
Well, that's it. I think, I mean, you know, we spoke about some benefits, some of the benefits, and I know there's many actually at the beginning of this podcast, didn't we? And we explained that, look, you know, settling through mediation means that a judge doesn't sit there and make your decisions for you. You can walk away at that time once it's settled and the mediator says, excellent, this is now settled, and draws up your settlement agreement. The problem, well, hopefully what I mean by the problem is the whole court process and everything goes away. If everybody sticks to their part of the bargain. And I think I just want to say, to breach an order, if you have agreed to settle something and that it's legally binding as a agreement, to breach that is quite a serious thing. So, you know, for anybody thinking, well, I'll just make the agreement because it's only a mediator and then we'll end up in court anyway, or I'll just see how I get on, I think you need to think twice, three times, four times and more. Because if you end up in court having breached an order because, you know, somebody somewhere with all the best will in the world settled a claim, and you think it's easy to breach that or walk away and breach that, it's not. And a court will not take lightly to you or kindly to you if you've breached an order that's been set. So I think that needs to be just out there for those people who are settling by mediation, because, you know, it's not the right thing to think, well, you know, it doesn't matter if I don't stick to it, because it's only in mediation that an agreement came up. It's legally binding. It's a very serious thing.
Yeah, I think that's important. Let's all remember why this service exists. The courts are busy. The courts want what probably the parties want and what the mediators want, which is for these matters to be resolved as soon as possible without incurring additional time, effort and cost in doing so. So ultimately, if you breach the settlement agreement and it goes before a court, yeah, I'm sure it's going to be frowned upon in that regard, and the court will deal with it appropriately.
No, absolutely. Jason, that is all we have time for today. But what I do want to say is that we did mention that we will try to do a podcast to talk about possibly the types of disputes and claims, and give examples of claims, obviously without divulging people's details and the personal information. So hopefully we can try to do a podcast like that. We'll see whether we can put something together, because I think that would be really helpful and really useful. So thank you ever so much for joining me today.
No, you're very welcome, Hattie. We'd love to come back again if we've got a few more stories we can tell about what's really worked for customers as well. So look forward to that in the future.
Yes, no, absolutely. And what I'll say to our listeners is don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcasts. And you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn and YouTube by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening. Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Our episodes are free to access. However, if you feel that you would like to support the children's charity that we are raising money for, then head over to our Just Giving page at justgiving.com and search for Hattie Savari, where we are raising money for orphaned children at SOS Children's Villages, one of the worthiest children's charities. Donate as little as £1 for a great cause. Thank you.